Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Woo-hoo! Monica, thank you for that and for everything you're doing in all these services. This is a quick greeting. I'll give you a real greeting in a little bit. What a beautiful morning it is out there, a beautiful Christmas Eve. But I want to say to you this morning, Christmas, I mean, look, we're all going to open a zillion presents. They're going to be wonderful and awesome, but there is the one gift, the supreme gift of Jesus himself, and that is the gift that matters, all right? So anyway, I want to pray for us. Lord God, this morning, here in this house, we have come to celebrate you, Jesus. We have come to meet with you, Jesus. Lord, there's going to be all kinds of wonderful get-togethers with families. And Lord, some of us may not have anywhere to go. But Lord, wherever we are, no matter how big or how small our gathering, even if we're all completely alone, Lord Jesus, that's where you come. Just like you came to the shepherds in the dark of the night, Lord, you come to us in the midst of our dark. We invite you here today, Jesus. Come and meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we belong to you. Lord, you have given us the greatest gift ever given, and there's only one response that we can even begin to make, and that is for ourselves, for we to give ourselves to you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Todd, come and bring the word, man.
I had five roommates in college when I was a junior at Texas Tech, and we were each talking at a revival up in Hartley, Texas. I don't know if anyone remembers Hartley. And so, and we were kind of, three of us were funneling through. I had the second session. My roommate David went up before me, and he switched my pages around and took one out, you know. Andy just gave me this sermon, so I counted the pages. Thank you for keeping them all together there. Andy, thank you very much for having me come share today. Andy's known me since I was around 12 or 13 years old, and so he's seen me grow tall and strong. He's also seen me grow out this way as well, you know. Hopefully what Andy has also seen me is fall in love with our Lord and Savior and grow in leaps and bounds with him. Something special, there was a time in my life when I walked away from God and the church and everything. And when I came back, through really Andy. And when no one else believed in me, you did. And when no one else stood with Christ for me, you did. And when I came back, I didn't meet the older brother from the parable. You know what I'm talking about, right? I met the loving father. And I always wondered why a guy from Lorenzo would help a dude from La Mesa. You know why? It'd be a better story if I was from Petersburg, right? Yeah. Thank you for that information, by the way. Here's the reason why. Because Jesus did something inside of Andy's life. Amen. And so I know I'm saying Andy's name a lot, but really what I'm saying is thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our lives today. Amen. Because you know what? The very thing that he did in Andy's life that helped me is the very thing that he's doing in your life today to help somebody else. Why would this side of the congregation help that side of the congregation? Why would this family stand for that family? Why would you love a stranger? Why would you deliver cookies to somebody that you don't know? Because Jesus is doing something in your life that will not only change you forever, but it changes everyone around you forever. I do remember the first time that I heard the Easter message preached on Christmas. It is kind of weird, right, that message was preached to me. I was, I think, 22 years old. I was living in Haiti. It was my first Christmas abroad. It was also my first Christmas away from my family. And it was probably, I think, my first Christmas outside the state of Texas. Amen. Actually, probably the first Christmas outside of Lubbock or Dawson County, to be honest with you. And if you've ever had Christmas in the tropics, it's just weird, isn't it? I mean, to see the lights wrapped around the palm trees, and it's not going to get cold, and there's sun, you're not going to get snow, you know, it just seems a little bit out of place, you know. Boy, wasn't that baby boy just a little bit out of place 2,000 years ago, right? And I remember Dr. Disarms, the guy that I worked with at Haiti, you know, I'd been there maybe 4 months. My Creole was horrible. I didn't understand very much. And so I had this guy, Dusoff, standing by me, whispering in English what he was saying in Haitian Creole. And he had this one line. And he talked about the baby Jesus and the Virgin Mary, and he told that story, but he also talked about the redemptive love and the grace and forgiveness of our saving power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's what he kept saying, is that Jesus' love is running after you. Jesus' love is running after you. And you know what? That's true to this day. Amen. You know what? Some of you, y'all are praying for people right now. And you've been praying for a long time about Jesus' love running after them. And they may not have turned away from what they're doing. They may not have come back yet. But I'm going to say yet. Amen. I want to encourage you to keep praying. Keep seeking God in that. Because I guarantee you, man, your prayers will work. Jesus' love is pursuing you no matter what. Amen, church family. No matter where. No matter what you may have done, no matter the type of life that you may even be living right now in this sanctuary today, Jesus' love is running after you. So I want to start off today by telling you how the story of how Jesus spent his final night with his disciples. I know it's a little strange because it's Christmas, but it was Jesus' last night on earth, and as Jesus intentionally, you know, gathered them together as he does. They were his very best friends, and they were there to celebrate the Jewish Passover. And just like Christmas is a humongous day for us, guys, you know, the Passover was this great time of celebration for his first century Jews. And Passover was when Jewish families, they gathered together to celebrate and remember that God is the God of deliverance, that God is the God who sets people free. And thousands of years ago, and guess what? It is still true today. God longs to set us free. And so Jesus and his disciples ate together, and they laughed together, and they sang together, and they prayed together as they sought not just to remember what God has done in the past for them, but to actually re-experience the very presence of Yahweh in that moment. And so too, today, guess what we've done? We have all gathered together as family. We've gathered together as those who love each other. And we too have gathered together to remember how Jesus came to us long ago in our lives. But also, we've gathered together to re-experience Jesus coming to us right here and right now. Jesus' love is running after you. Jesus' love is running after you. 1600 years ago, Augustine wrote these words. I love this. The maker of man became man that he, the ruler of the stars, might be nourished at his mother's breast. That he, the bread, might hunger. That he, the fountain, might thirst. That he, the light, might sleep. That he, the way, might be wearied by the journey. That he, the truth, might be accused by false witnesses. That he, the judge of the living and the dead, might be brought by trial by a mere mortal judge, that he, justice, might be condemned by the unjust, that he, discipline, might be scourged with whips, that he, the foundation, might be suspended upon a cross, that he, courage, might be weakened. Listen to this, that he, the healer, might be wounded, that life might die. I don't know what you may be going through today. I don't know what your needs may be. Yours and your families, people at work. But I do know this. Jesus knows. Amen. Jesus knows. Jesus gets you. Jesus understands you. And he most certainly loves you. The great Swiss theologian, Dr. Karl Barth. And there's Karl. Y'all see Karl right there? How many of y'all have a dude like that coming to Christmas this year? Anybody? You know? How many of y'all had a professor? Look, if you don't have a dude like that in your life, guess what that might say? You're that dude, all right? Yeah. How many had a professor in college that looked like Dr. Barth? Well, in his generation, he was the greatest theologian in the world. A student at one of the seminaries asked him, Dr. Barth, what is the greatest truth that ever crossed your mind? And all the seminary students were sitting on the edge of their seats and leaning in to hear some great, profound, deep, complicated answer that he would offer. And Dr. Barth slowly raised his great, shaggy, gray head and looked at the student, and guess what he said? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So y'all stand with me as we read our scripture today from John chapter 3, verse 16, and it's got to be in the King James Version, amen? That's how we learned it. If it was good enough for Moses, right? It's good enough. Y'all say this with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Please be seated. In our Advent series at St. Matthew, we were talking about how we are stepping into the Advent story, but really what we were learning was Jesus comes and steps into our story. And he doesn't just step into our story. You know what he begins to do, if we will let him, is he begins to write his story in our hearts. He begins to write his story in our hearts. And so in Advent, I think what we really, really notice is that we live in this time of in between. We live in this time of in between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus, where he is going to return here someday. So currently we're in the spot where we celebrate the birth of Jesus tomorrow. Amen to that, right? Yay. But we also look forward to the return of Jesus today. We're living in the in-between. Now, some of you can really understand what I say, what it feels like when I say that, and you may not call it living in the in-between. Rather, you refer to it as waiting, right? Waiting. Waiting is living in the in-between, and that is something that we are all familiar with. How many of y'all feel like y'all are in the waiting room today? Don't count the fact that you're sitting through this sermon, okay? All right, you're in the waiting room today. You know what? I love those pictures of Andy and Janie's grandchildren. You know, it's like when you've seen a gift that's wrapped under the tree. Remember that when you were young? But your parents said, not yet. It's not time. You know, you have to wait. You're kind of in that in-between time. Or it's like whenever you're waiting to go grab dinner excitedly, but the love of your life seems much more consumed with the football game on TV. And so you continue to wait until that last whistle sounds. Or it's like when you have this hope that the resentment that you have gained or the anger that fires inside of your belly, that you've carried it for so long, and I know many of us have, and you're waiting for that to go away. But guess what? It just hasn't happened yet, and you still continue to struggle with that. You're in between. Or it's when you're praying for God to do good things in your life, or you're praying for God to do something in this circumstance, and you believe that he will, and you know that he can. But guess what? It hasn't happened yet for you. You're in the in-between. Or you have in your mind a picture of peace on earth and goodwill to all men. But then you read the paper or you watch the news and you see the effects of this world and you realize right then we're just not there yet. We are in the in-between. So for now, as Christians, we're caught in between heaven and earth. And we really, really have the promise of one, but we often live in the pain of another. And in between can be a tough place to live. You guys know that. But there are some truths that we can learn from the very first Christmas and from the verse that we looked at this morning together, which can help us live in hope during this time of in between. The first truth is this: Jesus was born a king. Amen? Jesus was born a king. From our text, the way that John says that is he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave you his only son." Jesus was born a king. Now, remember this phrase: "I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in a town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Every time I hear that passage from Luke chapter 2, well, let me ask you, what do you think of? I think of Linus, right? I think of Linus, you know, from Charlie Brown Christmas special. And now notice the original announcement in Luke chapter 10, 2 verses 10 and 11. It wasn't made by Charlie Brown's friends. Instead, it was a heavenly host. It was a group of angelic beings who announced that this baby was going to change everything for everyone. Jesus was born a king. The second truth that we get from this is that Jesus died a king. Now look, that might sound a little strange to talk about Christ's death today. I mean, this is Christmas Eve, right? This is not Good Friday. But the only reason why we can talk about Christ's death is because he didn't stay dead. Usually, when you think of a king dying, it means loss. Usually, when you think of a king dying, it means vacancy. Usually, when you think of a king dying, it means defeat. But not in this case. Jesus was willing. Jesus was sacrificial. And what this king did was more different and distinctive and totally unexpected. And guess what? We were caught off guard. From our scripture in John chapter 3, we see the power of this statement: Jesus died a king, and if you believe in him, you will not what? You will not what? Perish. And you know what I wonder? I wonder if sometimes you look at God like I look at God. I wonder if sometimes we look at God like a police officer, right? Boy, I tell you what, that's a bad night right there, amen, you know? Boy, just looking at that just kind of tightens me up right here a little bit, you know? A police officer who's just waiting to catch us. One that's just waiting for us to do something wrong. But you know what? That's not an apt description of our king. You see, this is what our king specializes in. Our king specializes in giving us those things which we so desperately need, but guess what? The things that we don't deserve. And 2,000 years ago, flashing lights got the attention of some unsuspecting shepherds when they looked in their rearview mirror, and guess what? It wasn't the Department of Public Safety, was it? 2,000 years ago, there were many people, though, who feared the wrath of God, and they feared the justice of God, but guess what they were about to receive? They were about to receive something so unexpected. They were about to receive an undeserved gift of love and humility. And look, I know God sees all. And look, I know that God knows all. But I want you to know something today. It's that God sees all and knows all. And guess what he's doing? He is pulling for you. Amen? He is pulling for you. He is in your corner, and he knows that people need to be shown how they can belong to him and how they can be like him and how they can do like him. And look, that's the whole reason why he came. That's the whole reason why Jesus died for us. Jesus died a king. And here's our final truth. Amen? It's the final one, all right? Jesus is coming back a king. Jesus is coming back a king. Jesus promises to return, and he has kept every one of his promises, and he will fulfill this second part of Advent, his coming again. Did you know that there's an inscription in the reading room of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. that was written by Tennyson, and it says this. I love this. It says, "One God, one law, one element." Now listen to this part. "And one far off divine event toward which all creation moves. Man, did you hear that? One far off divine event toward which all creations move. I just love that, don't you? You see, we're not just living in endless timeline that goes on forever and ever and ever. There is meaning to your journey. There's meaning to your journey. In our online community, there is meaning to your journey. There's a purpose for why the King of Kings came to earth. And there's a purpose for why he's coming again. And guess what we are doing? We are moving closer and closer to that far off divine event. You know, people ask me, you know, when is Jesus coming back? And I tell them, I don't really know. But I'll tell you, I know when the clock started, the moment that he was born. Amen. He is coming back and coming back a king again. People often say, what's the world coming to? Well, let me tell you, the world is coming to this day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the world is coming to. Every knee will bow, every knee. The skeptical, the unbelieving, the proud, the stubborn, the faithful. All bow in repentance and reverence and worship before the King. Now in this, you know well, either he's coming for us or we're going to him, right? So it's important whether we go to meet him before he comes back or if we are still here when he comes back, that you be ready and that I be ready. And from our text in John chapter 3 today, we get the full emotion of all that I just said in this phrase. Have everlasting life. Have eternal life. Hear the good news, church family. Because of Christmas, Jesus has proven that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is King over loneliness. Amen? Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is King over arrogance. Amen? Amen. So keep walking in humility because he lifts the humble and opposes the proud. He is King over depression. Amen? He will get you through the difficult seasons of your life. He is King over injustice. Amen? He hears the cry of the oppressed, and he will provide his justice one day. He is King over those that are hurting. Psalms 56 tells us that he bottles every tear. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all of my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. He is the King over the lost. And he anxiously longs for you to come home to him, to give him your life and embrace his grace and truth. The truest thing about you this morning is who Jesus says you are. And you are a beautiful, wonderful child of God in whom he is well pleased. Close your eyes with me and visualize this. And when God brings the culmination of his kingdom, he will then live with his followers and they will see his people and he will be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or praying. For all these things will be gone forever. Open your eyes. We are living, aren't we? We are living in the in-between. And we are waiting. But I want to tell you, while we wait, we can have hope and we can have peace and we can have joy and we can have love as we see lit on our Advent wreath today. Because our King has come, but also because our King is coming again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a beautiful, great gift God has given us. Amen? Amen. Merry Christmas. God loves you. Can we just sing this together? Sing it out. Jesus loves me. Come on, sing it out. Yes, Lord. Now let's just lift it up.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
His love. His love is running after you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the beautiful gift in your Son. Father, we just praise your name, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that, you know, it's not what we do, it's what you do. Father, it's not if we can find you. Father, it is that you have found us. I must have lived 100,000 days, God, trying to do the right thing, be the right man, clean up, shape up, straighten up, all in effort to find you. Thank you, Lord, that I finally realized it was you who found me, no matter where, no matter what. And all of God's people said. Amen. And on that night, Jesus broke the bread and he offered it to his disciples. And he said, take and eat, for this represents my body. And when I look at the brokenness of this as we celebrate communion together, it just reinforces that great, true gift that he gives us of his healing. Amen. In all brokenness, the brokenness of his body was broken so that we could all be healed. And at the same time, Jesus took the wine and put it into the cup. And he said, take and drink this. This is my blood. It's given for your sins. And when I see this at communion as we celebrate it as a family, I think of how this covers not just certain things, everything. This covers everything for us. So thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your grace.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank you for being here today. We're going to end our time today by doing a very, very symbolic and very, very important thing. We're going to dark out this place as much as we can. And so I know in the middle of the day, it might not get all dark. Do you know how to pull the lights down? Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, this, I know it's not all the way dark, but it is dark enough, isn't it? The darkness is real in the world in which we live. There are people who are hurting and broken, and there's hatred and violence, and there's wars, and there's prejudice. There's injustice. And we need the light of Jesus to be made real to this world. But y'all, the way that happens is, this is the way we're going to do it. And I think this is the way it happens. I'm just going to put my one little light in the light of Christ, and then somebody else is going to light their light from mine, and then they're going to light somebody else's light, and somebody else's light, and somebody else's light, and the world is changed one encounter, one divine encounter at a time. Sometimes we go, well, what can I do? You can be the light of Jesus. What can I do? You can let the light of Jesus be made real in you. In the song that the girls sang to us, Mary, did you know, there's that great question. Mary, did you know that that little baby that you're holding is the great I am? Y'all, the little baby laying in the manger, The great I am, the same God, the same great I am that met Moses in the burning bush is now Jesus laid in the manger. And the question to Mary, did you know the baby you were holding is the great I am? Did you know the baby in your womb was the great I am? Y'all, do you know that the baby in you, the very spirit of Jesus in you is the great I am? Lord Jesus, thank you and praise you that you are wonderful counselor, almighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and that you have not just come to us this Christmas. Lord, you are now in us. May your light, Lord Jesus, break into the very core of our being, the depth of our being, wherever the darkness is, may your light overcome it. Lord, in us, for us, and through us to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas!
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.